Welcome to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. No more breaking the rules. That's the message newly elected Utah Republican Party Vice Chair Lowell Nelson and Secretary Drew Chamberlain are bringing to the state GOP following their election at the state convention in June. The two have long fought against the party's practice of appointing unelected superdelegates, among other issues they say violates the party's own bylaws and constitution. What changes are they hoping to bring to the party, and how can they accomplish it when they've been opposed in the past by the party's own current chairman, Thomas Wright? Lowell Nelson and Drew Chamberlain both join me on the phone this morning. Lowell, it's good to have you.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
And Drew, it's good to have you as well. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, let me start by asking you both, when did you first start to feel like the Utah Republican Party was breaking the rules and doing other things that hurt the party? Lowell, let's have you answer first.
Well, probably a decade or more ago when I first got involved with the party. I was just a newly elected precinct vice chair, attended my county convention. Became a state delegate, attended the state convention, and I was really quite enthralled with the excitement and so forth that goes along with a convention.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I got involved in politics because of my interest in gun ownership and the rights that gun owners have, as well as education, having homeschooled and private schooled our children.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't feel like I wanted to pay twice for education. I felt that, paying once for my children's education ought to be sufficient, and I ought to get credit on my tax return for that. Well, those were the two issues motivating me to get involved with politics. And so as I went to the conventions and began studying the rules and so forth, that's when I first became aware that sometimes the party doesn't always follow all of its rules. For the most part, it does, I suppose, but there were some important rules that I thought should be followed, which were not.
And Drew, when did you first get this feeling that something fishy was going on and perhaps the party was not obeying its own platform and rules?
Somewhere around 2002, discovered that they steal delegate positions off the top before they allocate them to the precincts, and studied again and found out that was in violation of the rules.
And so how does that occur exactly? Who are these so-called superdelegates, and what authority do they have that you think they should not have?
Well, what they do, or say they, the party leadership has allowed counties to skim off the top a certain number of delegate positions.
Mm-hmm.
For really whoever they want to. We have rules, but the rules are completely ignored in this instance. And so they take off a certain number of delegates, and sometimes there's a lot of those delegates, and sometimes it's very few, based on the county. And then the rest of the delegates go out the way they should, to the precincts. They're assigned to each precinct based on a Republican strength formula.
Mm-hmm.
That we use. And those that are skimmed off are what we consider the superdelegates or the illegal delegates.
And so these superdelegates, they're, for example, state lawmakers and other elected Republican officials, for example, is that what they are?
They can be anyone that county chooses.
And so when did you first try and push back against this practice, and how successful has this effort been so far, Drew?
We pushed back with a resolution, I believe, in 2004, 2005, something like that. Resolution of state convention that passed with almost 95%. It said that shouldn't be the case, and the resolution was ignored. Since then, we've been trying to clarify the language or bring it to the convention, to each convention, and all of our efforts have been blocked by party leadership. What they'll do is they'll take our amendments and route them back to the state central committee instead of sending them to the convention like we've always done in the past for the last 60 years. And they die a quick death at the state central committee because that's a body that's mostly party establishment elite.
Yeah, let me just clarify that 2005 resolution was a resolution asserting the delegates' authority to hear issues which they themselves bring to convention.
Uh-huh.
It was not really about the illegal delegate question, but it was at that time that, or since that time really, that delegates have not been able to bring things directly to the convention.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We're speaking with Lowell Nelson, the newly elected vice chair of the Utah Republican Party and newly elected party secretary, Drew Chamberlain. Well, Lowell, now that you both are in the leadership yourselves in these positions, do you expect things to change, and how do you plan to make that happen?
Well, we're hopeful that we can have an impact on party leadership, but we will do so in the approved methods, so to speak. You know, in other words, nothing changes unless we can get others around us to go along with the rules. And there's a big understanding or misunderstanding, perhaps. A lot of the county parties think that they're autonomous, can do what they want to do, but it turns out that if they have rules in their bylaws and they follow them, even though they don't necessarily harmonize with the rules of the state party, they don't realize that the state party constitution has a clause in it that says any county rule or county party rule that is in conflict with the state party constitution is null and void. And so I think it's an educational effort. I think we need to spend time and talk with party leadership throughout the state, and hopefully we will be able to have a healthy impact on the party if we do so.
So, Lowell, when you were both elected at the convention, was it pretty clear that the party establishment and the current chairman were, you know, not happy to see you elected and perhaps did everything in their power to try and make sure you weren't?
Well, I think that was evident. Thomas endorsed my opponent before the second round was taken there at convention. And, you know, he was comfortable with his current vice chair at the time. And people tend to do what they find, you know, comfortable. And so I don't fault him for that at all. He had a clear choice and so forth. And that's perfectly fine. That's politics. Politics, we make tough choices. And we have to have a thick skin here and there. It was clear, but Thomas is very energetic. He's a marvelous chair. Many of the delegates who came up to me said that they wanted to vote for Thomas and they wanted to vote for me because they knew how passionate Thomas was, how energetic he was, and they also knew how much I wanted to adhere to the rules, and they thought that would be really a winning combination. And so as we move forward, I'm hoping to emphasize our strengths. You know, Thomas is a great fundraiser. He's very energetic. He wants to maximize the participation at our caucuses in 2012, which, of course, is what I want to do as well. So I'm just adding one facet or one aspect to the equation, and that is let's just make sure that the party follows its rules so that we have a level playing field for all candidates and all delegates.
And Drew, let me ask you, I understand at the convention when you were elected secretary, Thomas got on the microphone and said, well, you guys just elected a secretary who is suing the party. How well do you expect to get along with Thomas and the rest of the party leadership now, and how do you see that playing out moving forward?
Yeah, that happened during the endorsement in the second round that Lowell was talking about. I'm not sure how to handle it. I mean, I'm trying to do my job as secretary.
Uh-huh.
And really, my job is only to collect accurate lists, collect and distribute the accurate lists. But, you know, just yesterday, the chairman sent out an email blocking me from even collecting any information on those lists. So I don't know how I can do my job with that kind of interference. I hope he will stop that and back off so I can do my job. Up and for the last month, I've been working really hard on our state central committee list, and it's the most accurate and best list that I've seen in a decade. And it's a beautiful thing, and I've had a whole team of people helping me on that. It's just been great, and now they're even being critical about some of that. So I just want to do my job and provide a fair playing field for all candidates in the Republican Party and promote the principles that make the Republican Party great. And hopefully we can reduce taxes and do those things that we talk about.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We're speaking with Lowell Nelson, newly elected vice chair of the Utah Republican Party, also Drew Chamberlain, the new party secretary. Drew, are you still involved in a lawsuit against the party? And if so, how do you think that matter might be resolved? Will it be through the courts, or do you think you'll reach a resolution outside the court system?
Oh, I think we'll reach a resolution outside the court system. All we really want in the lawsuit is for the party to follow its own rules, and part of that is collecting a list that has the basis of eligibility for each state delegate. And since I'm the secretary now, I'll be the one collecting that list. So there's really no point to going on with the lawsuit. We can settle that. There's another aspect to it also about letting the delegates bring amendments to the convention.
Uh-huh.
And we hope that at the next State Central Committee meeting that that will be settled as well. So we're still trying.
Lowell, let me ask you, both of you have been called Republican, quote, dissidents by others in the past. Do you find that term insulting, or do you think that it's a good thing? It shows that you're willing to push back against the establishment.
Well, I think the latter, Jeff. I think the founding fathers were sometimes called such things, renegades, dissidents, whatever. And so, no, that doesn't bother us. It in some ways could be thought of as a badge of honor, but what we really are interested in is good governance. We're interested in liberty. We're interested in following the Constitution and the prosperity and the peace that will accrue to the citizenry if we'll do that. I just think it's important if we expect our elected representatives in Congress to adhere to the Constitution and follow the rules, and that we need to make sure that we do so as well here locally. I think when we get, if and when we get into the habit of following our own rules, that we will begin electing representatives at the state and local level, state and national levels, who will also follow the Constitution. And that is the blueprint for freedom. The U.S. Constitution is an awesome document, as you know. Never before has such a document appeared on this planet, and it has resulted in the most prosperous and free nation in the world. But boy, in the last 100 years, we've seen a steady decline because of our ignorance of and failure to follow the Constitution. That's why we're involved in this. We want liberty, we want peace, we want prosperity.
And Lowell, I know that you both are both big supporters of the caucus convention system we have here in Utah. If the Utah GOP continues along its current path, if, for example, you continue to have superdelegates, do you worry it will be easier for people to make the argument that we should do away with the caucuses and the convention and we should switch to a direct primary?
That is one of my fears, yeah. And in fact, I wrote about that in the weeks leading up to the convention. I suggested that very thing, that if we continue to have these illegal delegates and ignore the rules, that there will be increasingly a movement or a sentiment out there that the system is corrupt and we need to throw it away and go to a direct primary. And so I think very highly of our caucus convention system, as long as it can be pure and clean, legal, because you have the delegates who are chosen by their neighbors to spend time studying the issues and studying the candidates. They get close-up interviews of the candidates and are able to get substantive. It basically requires candidates to be substantive and to talk about substantive issues. And it's a much better dialogue. Those delegates, having interviewed those candidates, are in a very good position to make a decision on which candidates are the ones to best represent them. So, yes, I like our caucus convention system, and I want to preserve it. So part of the reason I'm involved is to purify the weed out the illegal delegates, purify the delegate pool so that the caucus convention system is perceived by the delegates and by the public as a good, clean, honest, fair system.
Drew, let me ask you about the HB 116 issue, the much-criticized guest worker permit bill passed by the legislature earlier this year. At that same convention where you were both elected to your positions, the delegates, the ones who were left by the time this vote occurred, voted narrowly to approve a resolution condemning HB 116 and calling for its repeal. Would you say, then, that Republican office holders in the states are now obligated to do as such, or is it left to their own personal discretion?
Well, of course, we're not speaking for the party, but mm-hmm. personally, I think that the elected officials should take that message as they would a personal letter, but a personal letter from about 1,200 people, and so yes, they should certainly look at that, and that is a recommendation that was passed from the. From the convention, so that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Although it is a resolution, and I'm not a huge fan of resolutions. I think they're just mostly designed to blow off steam. Mm-hmm. But they do have meaning, and they produce a certain amount of press and public sentiment. And yeah, they should be looking at that very closely. Yeah.
One person who was at the convention, Brandon Beckham, had a rally at the Capitol earlier this week and went as far as to call those who supported HB 116 traitors. Does that go too far?
Well, he said it went too far. He apologized for that yesterday on Facebook. And, yeah, it probably did. But, one of those heat-of-the-moment kind of things.
Mm-hmm. This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We are speaking with Lowell Nelson. He is the newly elected vice chair of the Utah Republican Party, also Drew Chamberlain, who is the newly elected secretary. And Lowell, you were also at the Capitol earlier this week talking about possibly a new election system in Utah called instant runoff voting. Tell me about this and how you think it might help the electoral process.
Well, that's a great question, Jeff. The preferential voting is IRV is another name for preferential voting, which is a system that allows a voter to rank the candidates in order of his preference. That's different from our current system, as you know, because if you have three or four candidates, you can only choose one under today's current system, which is aptly called or rightly called a plurality system. If you spread the votes out among three candidates, it's possible for no single candidate to get 50% or a majority of the vote. The preferential voting enables the voter to, because he ranks his preferences, if his first choice is the lowest vote getter, then and that a candidate is eliminated, then and only then is his second choice become effective, and so then his vote is cast toward his second choice, and so forth until you're left with a majority winner in the election. And so it's really a system which expands choices for voters. It gives them more freedom to express their true will, and so the results of those elections, especially the first round, will be a truer indication of the will of the electorate. I find it to be very appealing and so forth. The party itself does have a rule that allows them to choose preferential voting in its conventions if they want to. So it's not like it's unheard of. We do have some great experiences. In 2004, for example, there were 8 or 9 gubernatorial candidates at our convention, and so we used that preferential system at convention and narrowed it down to, I think it was John Huntsman and Nolan Karras, who then went to the primary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great, I'm an advocate of the preferential balloting. And I was at the Capitol building not as a representative of the party. The party does not have a position on that issue. And so I was just there as a citizen of the state of Utah advocating for that system because I believe it's a much better system for the public in like general elections or municipal elections where you have three or more candidates.
Do you think that this could potentially change the outcomes of elections? Because it usually seems, at least when it comes to legislative and congressional races, that the third-party candidates get so few votes that the impact is almost negligible.
Well, in most districts where one party is dominant, this will not have an impact on the outcome. Where it has its impact on the outcome is in swing districts, or those districts where the relative strength of both parties is nearly equal. One of the slides I presented to the legislative committee was showing how 10 seats, U.S. Senate seats, had been lost to the Democrat Party because of third-party spoilers. In other words, the winner, the Democrat winner, was elected by a plurality, not a majority, and the difference between the winner and the loser was just like a fraction of a percent or maybe 1%, very small number, and the number of votes cast for the third-party candidate, which was usually an independent, exceeded the difference between the winner and the loser. And so in those cases, the voters, had they been able to express a second preference, in all likelihood would have expressed a preference for the Republican candidate, not the Democrat candidate. One can make that supposition because the third party candidate was usually an independent or a libertarian or a Constitution Party candidate. I mean, that that ideology. And so they tend to express a second preference for the Republican candidate, not the Democrat. And so had those races been done with a preferential ballot, then in all likelihood, the Republican Party would not have lost those 10 seats.
Drew, let me close by asking you about an ongoing controversy within the party. The party has banned someone named Mike Ridgway from all of its conventions and other meetings, but not specifically talking about Mike, but about the issue in general. What do you think of the practice of banning particular people from attending the party's conventions? Do you think that's okay, or do you think that's a practice that should change?
Well, that's an amendment that I actually forwarded to the convention last month. That amendment was routed to the State Central Committee and will be heard August 27th at the State Central Committee, where I'm sure it'll die. I'm really concerned about banning people because state law in Utah requires that anyone who wants to be a Republican has to be able to participate at every level that anyone else can participate. So by banning someone, we are in violation of the state law. Now, a lot of people don't think that's a big issue, but I think that that puts our very ballot access at risk, and I think that's a huge deal. And I'm concerned and even shocked that people would even consider such a thing. And Mike is not the only one that we've banned. I and all of the elected officers in my precinct were removed because of a personal issue a few years ago in Salt Lake County. Nancy Lord, who was the national committee woman just a few years ago, has been removed from her elected positions in Salt Lake County. And not because of what they do, more because what they believe, because they're principle first and party second. And to a lot of people in the party, that offends them. And so they try to get the upper hand, and when they can't, then they fall back to these positions of, well, we'll just get rid of those people. But you just can't do that legally. So, yeah, it's a huge deal, and we'll see how that goes at the State Central Committee. But I doubt that my amendment will get out of the State Central Committee. I will submit it again at the next convention, where it will probably conveniently be routed back to the State Central Committee again. So.
We have been speaking with Drew Chamberlain, the newly elected secretary of the Utah Republican Party. Drew, thanks for joining us.
No, you're welcome.
And we've also had Lowell Nelson, the new vice chair of the Utah Republican Party as well. Lowell, we appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having us. This is an exciting time to be involved in the party. We've got redistricting right now, and we have four congressional seats to fill next year and a new senator seat to fill next year. So it's very exciting to be part of this party. And I encourage people to get involved, to donate to the party financially if you can. And let me just take 30 more seconds, if I may, Jeff.
All right, sure.
To just indicate that the party is sponsoring a municipal officer candidate training this coming Tuesday, July 26th at 6 p.m. there at State Party Headquarters. So if you are a municipal candidate and would like some training at the Republican headquarters, then please come. And again, Jeff, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak about these issues and to promote the party.
All right, Lowell Nelson, we appreciate your time. Thank you. This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We'll be right back.